No more eligibility rules. Starting in mid-April, everyone who wants a COVID vaccine in Illinois will be able to get one.
The Biden administration has met or exceeded all of its vaccine projections to date, and I have every confidence that they will continue to do so.
That's Governor J.B. Pritzker. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Friday, March 19th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with some major changes related to our eventual exit from the pandemic. All Illinois residents age 16 and over will become eligible for a COVID vaccine on April 12th. Governor J.B. Pritzker announced that change yesterday, citing increased vaccine supply from the federal government and an uptick in both vaccination locations and rates statewide. The governor says he understands the confusion the current rollout plan has caused among Illinoisans with certain jobs.
There are people who are at the edges of qualifying for one of those phases that are especially frustrated. And that's one of the reasons why I'm really glad that we're going to move away from this idea of taking sections of the population, because I think there's some confusion out there.
In the past 7 days, nearly 100,000 vaccine doses have been administered daily in Illinois. Here in McLean County, we've delivered a record 9,200 doses over the past week. Meanwhile, the governor is once again revising his economic reopening plan, this time allowing for more capacity at businesses and events. Pritzker is introducing a bridge phase before Illinois returns to mostly normal. The bridge phase will begin when 70% of Illinoisans age 65 and over have gotten at least one dose of the vaccine. Currently, that figure stands at 58%. Pritzker says this metric was chosen because more than three-quarters of Illinois' COVID deaths have been seniors.
The widespread vaccination of seniors as a group marks tremendous progress at overcoming this pandemic.
The new capacity limits won't be that noticeable for places like retail stores, offices, and salons, where the caps will increase from the current 50% to 60%. But at events like an indoor wedding, the new limit will be 250 people, up from the current max of 50, or half the banquet hall's normal max capacity. Illinois could reach the bridge phase in the coming weeks, and if new cases, hospitalizations, and deaths don't significantly increase, the state would basically return to normal operation. However, even when that happens, Pritzker says Illinoisans must still wear masks in public. He's leaving the question of when it'll be safe to go maskless again to the CDC. Here are some other stories we're following in the WGLT newsroom. 29 new COVID cases reported yesterday in McLean County. Testing positivity rate holding steady at 2.8%. No new deaths were reported. Congressman Rodney Davis was one of only 29 Republicans to vote in favor of the Violence Against Women Reauthorization Act as it passed the House. Bloomington Normal's other congressman, Darren LaHood, voted against the measure. And new data show there are 6,300 fewer jobs in the Bloomington Normal area than there were this time a year ago. The jobless rate as of January was up to 6.3%. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. Illinois State University's Culturally Responsive Campus Community Conference is under new leadership this year, and it'll take a new term as it tries to broaden the conversation about diversity and inclusion. CRCC Chair and Multicultural Center Director Krista Platt tells student reporter Tiffany Jackson it takes more than one conference a year to address anti-Black racism on campus. It has planned a new spring institute today.
So we usually take 2 days in October to have these conversations, and that's how it normally is, but we're hosting the institute this semester, and it's just for faculty, staff, and students this time around. This is our first time having a spring conference for CRCC, because normally it's just one time of year.
And that one time is normally in the fall, but now it's extending to the spring. Why is that?
One of the original goals of the conference was for it to be a year-long conversation, for the not just to be a one-time discussion, but for us to talk about equity and justice as a campus community and as a community all year long. And so we think that the conversation about equity is important for us to have as a university, but a one-time discussion in 1 year just doesn't seem like enough. So it's an inaugural year of having two opportunities to have this discussion.
Yes, it is. And oftentimes when people come together to fight for a cause, that cause was triggered by something. In your case, you're just trying to continue the conversation, but what led to the first conversation?
Sure, there were tons of conversations happening across campus, I think around the 2015 timeframe, and students really wanted to have the institution provide more training for faculty. Honestly, they wanted to go into their classrooms and have faculty members who were prepared to be able to have these critical discussions, not putting things back on the students to have to teach and educate the class around issues of equity and justice, but that the teachers and the professors and staff members would be ready and prepared to engage and disrupt really structural racism. A lot of the students were Black students who were saying, hey, we really want to have an institution that is able to see us and understand context contextually through from curriculum to the residence halls to everywhere on campus.
You mentioned one of the breaking points being that students wanted to have teachers who were equipped to tackle hard topics and not make them feel as if they have to educate their classmates themselves about their culture when it comes to issues of race and equity. Now, as an African-American woman, have you ever had that experience in that type of environment or heard from a student who did? If so, what is that like?
Yeah, during my undergraduate and graduate days, I remember having to be the one to bring up topics or try to have us consider a particular topic from a lens that included race. I think it's hard to have discussions specifically around our society, a social context, without talking about how race is considered. And so I'm used to that now, but I think to your question, I certainly have over the years heard students really their hearts being grieved about being in the classroom and being one of the very few who have had to be the ones to counter a professor who was saying things that were pretty racist, and even being put on the spot, right, as the student to actually respond. How do Black people experience this? And so I think I recognize that from my own personal experience and then also the experiences of my students, which can be really difficult because being Black or being a part of quote unquote the Black community, if we're not a monolithic community, it's very difficult to put a student on the spot to say, answer this question for the Black community. It's very difficult.
First Spring Institute is today from 9 to 2 via Zoom. Before we let you go, the first public feedback session on the McLean County Regional Planning Commission's new Go Safe Transportation Action Plan draft is tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on Zoom. That is it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines. The Motor City is just one flight away. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.